The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This week has been a little crazy. Sit back and get your recap of what happened and what is happening in sports, entertainment, movies, TV, politics, technology, and current events. You can count on getting a dose of comedy, great guests, fun, the best talk around, and even more outrageous fun. That's why we love those fun, fascinating, and real. We are live with the Brian and Lee Show. So unbelievable, we could not make this stuff up, even if we tried.
It's beginning to look a lot like, what? Like I'm on?
You're on again. Yeah. Wow.
Hello, it's finally December, so we can see the end of 2020 coming at us.
Yeah, we have 30 days or 40 days. I don't know, 25 days left? I don't know. How many days?
27?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
But I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to call this the end of the craziness. It started off good, though.
Yeah.
2020.
It did.
We were in Disney.
You remember when 2020 was around this time, or the end of 2019 going into 2020?
Yeah.
All I was thinking about was, will they play Barbara Walters on New Year's Rockin' Eve? And they did.
But you weren't thinking about what was coming after, right?
No, I could not have predicted what came after.
No, you did not predict this.
No.
COVID cases spiking up again. Mm-hmm. The Trump era.
Well, that I could have seen coming.
Yeah. Well,
because had the pandemic not happened, I'm pretty sure he probably would have won.
Yeah, he could have, you know.
Because as you saw, the amount of votes that he got during the election went up.
Yeah. So he
as
could,
opposed
he,
to 2016.
He could have won, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm happy. Joe Biden's going to be the new president.
Yeah.
And
but he still has one more big hurdle to go.
Yeah.
That's the Electoral College.
Right. So.
And that worries me.
Well.
Because of the fact that they gave Trump the Electoral College with the same number of electoral votes, 306.
Yeah. So why does that worry you?
Why? Because you know how they say, okay, well, 306 is enough, but then when it's a Democrat, you know, they can always flip.
No. No, it doesn't work like that.
It better not.
Guarantee. Well, anything can happen. I mean, it's a possibility, but I wouldn't worry about that.
I am not going to breathe easily until New Year's.
Until it's done, right?
Yeah. Well, once we reach New Year's, then we'll know that the inauguration is 19 days away from that.
I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Why? But we had a... by the way, I'm Lee.
I'm Brian.
This is the Brian and Lee Show.
That's right. And this is not American Idol, thank goodness, because obviously I can't sing.
But it's great to be with you for another week, and we have a good show for you today. We have a guy coming up. He's a nomad. He travels around in a RV all around the place. So we're going to ask him about that lifestyle, and he's also a performance coach. And I want to ask him about
your performance.
Not my performance. No. Carson Wentz performance and the Eagles performance. How do you go from being number
one? The MVP candidate.
Only 3 years ago, he was like the darling of everybody.
Or as some people would call it, the golden boy.
The golden boy. And now he's the worst quarterback in the league. So how do you do that? How do you get that bad?
And I keep trying to tell you, it's very easy to go from best to the worst.
It's called
falling off the mountain.
Yeah. Well,
it's called getting your head too big, you know, your ego too big.
I never thought that of him. I never thought that he had a big ego.
Well, I don't know if he really did or not, but, you know, that's what a lot of theorists are saying, that, you know, his... Even though he didn't get to play in the Super Bowl, the fact that he got the Eagles as far as he did, you know, will, I don't know if it'll inflate anybody's ego, but I mean, you know, it certainly inflated his wallet.
Well, two two things happened since three things happened. He got hurt. I think that did something to his mind. He got married.
Yeah, because he can't dance around the field like he used to.
Right. He got married, which messed up his mind. And they brought in another quarterback, a younger quarterback. And that messed up his mind. So you think all those things?
That could be.
Could be. I don't know. But
I say it's a little column A, a little column B, and probably a pinch of column C.
So they were terrible last week, on Monday night. They were just horrible. They couldn't get it right. Carson Wentz couldn't get it right.
In fact, I know that I followed a lot of bad Eagles teams through the years, but I don't ever remember an Eagles team that did not get one first down in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact, it bled over into the second quarter. Didn't they have about seven possessions in a row where they did not get a first down? They went three and out?
Yeah, I don't know exactly the number, but yeah. It was.
You lost count after two.
Yeah, it was a dry spell there. It was totally a dry spell.
So, totally.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know where you go, where they go from here, but I think this, because they're going to play Green Bay this week, the Packers, in Green Bay.
In Green Bay, oh, geez.
So, that team, Aaron Rodgers, they're clicking in all cylinders, and then the Eagles can't get out of their way, it seems, But they had a chance to win yesterday. That was the thing, because the defense kept them in the game.
They did.
Defense really, they came out playing.
But Elliott didn't. That was not the difference in the game. But when you go into halftime, you get a touchdown, you want to get that extra point, and the fact that they didn't, I think, deflated them.
Yeah. So what do you think? You think Jeff Lurie cleans house, gets rid of not Wentz because he's making too much money, but gets rid of Peterson, gets rid of Howie Roseman?
I think if he's smart, he'll probably get rid of himself.
Well, that could be. He could sell the team and make a lot of money.
Exactly.
He is getting up there in age.
Exactly.
But does he want to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does he want to sell it to Fox since the Phillies were sold to Comcast?
No, I don't think he's going to sell it to Fox, but, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's interesting, But
are they going to bring the 80s back and say the Eagles are moving to Phoenix?
Yeah. No, I don't think they're going to do that.
No, either. They're not that drastic.
But I can see Peterson going. I could see, because I don't think he really wants to be there. You could see it on his face, The joy is gone. And he's made a lot of money. He won a Super Bowl. He has a ring. And so why does he need this every week? Yeah.
I don't know. Why does Andy still need it?
Well, Andy's doing well, though. Did you see Kansas City, the game?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
But they have a competent quarterback.
Yeah, that was a game now. That was unbelievable. Against who?
Against who? I don't know. Who did they play?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa, okay.
And who's the quarterback of Tampa Bay now?
Michael Vick?
No, Tom Brady.
That's right. I forgot.
And Tom Brady.
See how soon they forget.
Walked over after the game and shook the quarterback's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that the right thing to do?
Yeah. Under normal circumstances. Yeah.
But why wouldn't he shake Nick Foles' hand?
Because Nick Foles is the joke.
No.
In his mind.
Oh,
in
his mind, yeah. But he beat him
I got beaten by a joke.
But he beat him twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once with the Eagles and once with Chicago.
Exactly.
So he beat him
and
twice.
And he didn't play this week, did he? Nick Foles?
No. Mm-hmm. He's out hurt.
Yeah.
So he didn't play.
Mm-hmm. They say he's out hurt, but I think he's out Christmas shopping.
But they didn't do well. Chicago lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Because because Foles had to go Christmas shopping.
Yeah, he didn't play. I don't know. But it's a good time of the year. It's going to be a little strange.
The weirdest thing for me is not being able to go to Macy's and see the light show.
Well, you could do it online, though, can't you?
Whoopity-doo.
So,
online and, the old videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, that cannot do it justice.
Well, that's true. No, you got to actually get up close and personal with...
Exactly, with all the lights and the breathtaking magic Christmas tree.
Yeah, I like that, yeah. But, you know...
And at least they give you a scaled-down version of the Nutcracker.
Oh, they do. Which is...
A little girl named Marie was given a Nutcracker for Christmas.
Huh. I love that. You memorized the whole thing.
No, not quite.
No? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I still have to watch it about 40 more times or something like that before I memorize it.
I finally got to see, Peanuts, Charlie Brown's
Thanksgiving. Yeah, you finally saw it. So you finally get my joke.
Yeah, I do.
About the popcorn and the toast.
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to hear what our coach and performance expert has to say. Tim Winders is going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about performance, and I want to hear what
we're coming up on a brand new year, so maybe we can increase our performance.
Maybe. Here we go. We're going to try. I don't know.
Exactly. We'll find out after this break. Stay with us.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
A new day has begun. As the sun rises, our staff, drivers, and modern fleet of vehicles are ready. Our wheels are rolling. Mission number one is to safely transport your special needs child to and from school. Getting students to school and home again on time and safe is what we do. It's what we're good at. Transporting people. It's in our name, our minds, and our hearts. For more information, contact us at 215-517-7433. We are MTS. Transporting people is what we do. It's the only thing we do.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the number one father and son team on radio, The Brian and Lee Show.
And we're back, and it's a real privilege and a pleasure to have Tim Winders, who is a performance coach, author, host of the Seek, Go, Create podcast, Redefining Success in Leadership, Business, and Ministry. Tim, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to chat with you.
Well, nice. Great to have you here.
It's we were talking a little bit earlier about the Eagles and the quarterback, and we said, you know, it's only been 3 years since 2017, and he was playing at this high level of performance. And now he can't even get out of his own way, you know. So it got me to thinking, you know, because you're a performance coach. And do you see this a lot with people who are excelling at a high level and then all of a sudden a few years pass by and they go from the best to the worst? And what do you do about that? Yeah.
Well, that's a tough question when we're talking about, especially athletics. It's interesting. A lot of the people I work with are in the business world, and they seem to get better with wisdom. Now they're not trying to, you know, read defenses and play in the NFL or anything. And I'm also not sure if it's safe for me to get into Philadelphia professional sports conversations. That could be a dangerous place for me to go. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right.
You're absolutely right. No, I don't want you to critique his performance, but.
No. But at least settle a debate for us. I was telling Lee when he was asking me this question that it's easier to fall off the mountain from the top than it is to get to the top of the mountain. Is that true?
It usually is, but I guess somehow somebody's got to get to the top of that mountain. So it's a chicken and egg question, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah. Well, performance is tricky, right? Because there's a lot of things that go into performance. And the main thing is what's between your ears. You know, what's in your mind? You know, if you think you can, you're correct. And if you think you can't, you're correct.
You know, one of the things that's the toughest, yeah, absolutely, I agree with that. But one of the things that I don't know why it's the last few years, I've just really been on this. And this topic is, how do we go about defining what is good performance? Or in other words, how do we define success even? And I think our world is even becoming more and more difficult to do that because of just all that's happening. Is it money in our bank account? Is it our possessions? Is it how well we performed on a Sunday or a game? And I think the thing that's becoming tougher and tougher, guys, is really how do we go about even defining what high performance and success means? So really a lot of the work that I do, and I think a lot of things we need to do individually, is really ask ourselves, what does success or high performance mean to us?
Well, I agree with you because it does mean something different depending on who's making the evaluation. At one point in my life, I thought success was making a lot of money and getting to the top of my profession. And I did all that. Then I found out, hey, yeah, that's great, but where do I go from here? So, having goals, having things you can strive for, but it's not necessarily going to bring you happiness. You know, it's not going to bring you joy in your life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, part of our story is, you know, heading into 2008, we had three companies all doing well, valued at, you know, seven figures plus. We had a bunch of real estate. All our companies were in real estate heading into 2008. And, you know, I probably don't have to tell you the rest of this story, but by 2013, my wife and I were essentially homeless living in a Honda van.
Oh, man.
So, you know, what would I define success? Well, by all indicators in 2008, we had it. You know, we were in a big house. We were in a golf course community, had 117 holes of golf. I mean, I tell people we had a Ritz-Carlton as a neighbor, but yeah, it's real interesting though. And I think it was Lee that asked this question, made the comment that it really causes one to evaluate what's important to them. What are those core beliefs? What are the values that you have? And I wouldn't wish, I mean, we're in much better shape even really now financially. I mean, we live in an RV and travel full time, which is a little bit different and unique, I know, but it's kind of how we've redefined what success means to us. My wife and I are currently in just outside of a national park in southern Utah, and we travel and go where we want to go when we want to go there, and we run our companies and businesses. But we wouldn't wish what we went through on anyone, but we're kind of thankful that we went through it because it helped us with that process.
Well, you know, when you hit the bottom, there's only one place to go. You can't go further down.
It's the mountain. It's the mountain question again, all over again.
Is exactly.
Do you climb up out of the muck in the swamp, or did you get there? How tough was it to get there? Well, it wasn't fun, but you do learn a lot through that process.
So, so when you reevaluated your life after what happened to you, what changes in your life besides, you know, living in an RV and all of that? What changes in your mindset and your how would you define success?
Well, the way I'm actually a spiritual person, and so I have a background in ministry and all. And my success, as I define it now, is just trying to walk in the assignment that I believe God has for my life. And some people might understand that, and some people might not. That's fine, but that's kind of where I'm at with that now. But I'll tell you another, maybe a little bit more practical, just to kind of keep from getting off on the spiritual track, is part of defining what's important to me is not being concerned about what other people think. Because I realized in many ways I was probably living in the houses and driving the cars and going on the vacations, not necessarily because it's one thing that I really wanted to do and my wife did. We were probably to some degree doing it because we thought that's what we were supposed to do. And maybe we were trying to impress people. And, you know, that's a bad formula to go down. And so we really learned how to, I guess, attempt to do the things that were nourished our soul. That's kind of a term that we like to use. And then another big thing is just spending less than you make. We were probably making a boatload of money and spending that and a little bit more, and that's not a good formula either. So there's some practical things and some spiritual things that I learned from that process.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now you live the nomad lifestyle, so you don't have a house. You have an RV that you live in, and you travel around the world. So what's that freedom like? Because or is it freedom? Let me ask you that.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple of layers to the freedom. The first layer of freedom that I didn't realize until kind of going through all the process we did was the amount of freedom that one has when they don't have just a boatload or house full or storage unit full of a bunch of stuff. And in our, I'll call it first world country, America, or first world, we just have gotten in the mode of just accumulating a bunch of stuff, and you have to work hard to go against that grain. So there's a lot of freedom in getting rid of things because it just doesn't burden you and slow you down. And currently, you're correct. We live in an RV. It's a 39-foot RV. I'm actually sitting in the passenger seat office right now as I speak to you, and I've got a view over out my window of Zion National Park, which is about 10 miles off into the distance, but I could see the spires of one of the mountains there. And there is a lot of freedom, especially in the world we're sort of in today, where there's just a lot of stuff going on. Just to be able to start up the engine and go somewhere else if you feel so led to do that, and not have, you know, massive amounts of stuff that you have to do something with before you do that. So that's kind of a cool level of freedom that we didn't recognize, but we really are enjoying.
And when you're traveling, what I like about traveling is you get to meet all kinds of people and different people with different stories, and everybody has a story. And I think that's what I enjoy about traveling. How about you? What's your in meeting different types of people?
Well, I'm with you. I love meeting people. I love chatting. In fact, just yesterday I had a long conversation with a couple that pulled in next door to us. They were from Las Vegas. We had a long conversation. She used to be a school teacher, He used to work as a, I think he was a plumber, if I recall correctly. And, you know, we just conversed and, you know, we had a little bit of talk about politics, which you're not supposed to talk about, but we did anyway. And but we all were, you know, civil about it. And we just had a great conversation, and they wanted to learn more about my podcast and other things. So I was going to go meet up with them here in a little while, but I literally, there's also someone else who's kind of cool in our, in the RV resort that we're in right now that is a glass blower, and he blows glass. And about every few days, especially on the weekends like now, he'll lower the back on his RV down, and he's got this furnace that gets up to around, I think he said 3,000 degrees. Don't quote me on that. I'm not an expert in glass blowing. And he'll start blowing glass, and he sells it to people here and also around the area and ships it. And you know what? I don't know that I've ever met a glass blower that would be mobile. So that was kind of a cool meetup. So we do that all the time. And there are people all over that are doing what we do. And it's just kind of neat to meet people out and about.
Sounds great. With COVID out there and traveling around, is there any hesitation about where you go and any restrictions that you have?
Well, when things first hit, we were in the Colorado area in the spring of early spring 2020, and we were there with the birth of our first grandchild. It was colder than one would typically be in an RV. You typically would not want temperatures going below freezing very often, as most people would probably guess. Mm-hmm. But we stuck around because we just didn't know where to go and what to do. I mean, there was a lot going on. But then as spring rolled along, we said, you know what, we're not going to let this slow us down. So we traveled with caution, I guess might be the best way of saying it. And we did actually kind of avoid some places. We in general avoid, I mean, it's not a good formula to take a 40-foot vehicle in large cities anyway, like Philadelphia or anything. So we unfortunately have avoided cities because that's where a lot of people are. There's a lot of situations going on, obviously, with COVID, and it really isn't a good match for us. So we have stayed in more, I guess, rural areas, and we've stayed kind of off the beaten path. And we probably live a socially distanced lifestyle before it was cool in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, listen, we take our bed, all of our clothing, everything is with us. And you know, people that are traveling in and out of hotels right now, you know, you don't know. We didn't know beforehand. You really don't know now where people have been there and things like that. And but so we're traveling with everything we own. And we, you know, we pull into a place like we're in now, and we're 40, 50 feet from anyone around us, and we're outside most of the time. So, you know, before COVID, we were probably living a lifestyle that would be pretty safe even since COVID has come along. So we just avoid some of the high population areas, might be an answer to your question.
Are you kind of amazed that in the COVID era that you see as much poverty, you see people standing in line or waiting in line for 3-4 hours for food in you know the richest country in the world?
You know, I just turned 57 years old. I don't think that's old. I don't think it's young. I don't know that it's middle, but I'm getting to the place where many things grieve me, but nothing surprises me. And I don't think we really do have like food issues. Like, I'll give you examples. We've traveled. I don't think we have issues with water. I think we've got distribution problems. Mm. And when you mention the food issue, if you travel, if anyone would get in their car and travel 2 hours outside of, let's just say they live in a city, they're going to get to such wide open, spacious areas. I mean, if you travel across Kansas, which we've driven across Kansas probably 3 times in the last 12 months, you would never think there's an overpopulation, overcrowded, or food issue that's going on in the world. So sometimes what we need to do is maybe just expand our perspective. Now, again, we've got distribution problems. We need to kind of work on how we get resources to people and how people do their response, you know, their responsible thing for finding and getting resources. But it really is a situation where I'm getting less and less surprised by things. I don't know if that's good or bad at all either.
Well, I think it's good. Let me say that 57 is not old. I'm 69.
Brian's old. Oh, well, see, that's young.
Yeah, that's young. Exactly. 57. Now, see, I put it in perspective for you so you understand. And Brian, you know, is in his 30s. So he thinks I'm old. But I don't know. What do you think about Tim?
Yeah. No, I don't think Tim's old.
Okay. Who's climbing the mountain and who's falling off?
Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
That's right. Well, you know, I've been to the mountain. I've looked over. That's a nice thing about being of age, I'll call it. You get to see. It's like you've been to the mountain and you've seen on the other side. And, you know, what happens now is all gravy, you know. It's a plus, you know. So that's what I have to say about age. But that struck me when you said, you know, you're 57, and you know that's not old at all. But it's all perspective.
I feel good. I feel
It's
all
perspective.
I feel healthy and I feel good. First time grandparent, so you know. And you know what? That's one of the coolest jobs ever, is being a grandparent. So I'm excited about that. So I agree. Life is good.
Well, congratulations on that. And give me your definition of leadership.
Now, leadership is something that, unfortunately, we see so many examples in our world today of poor leadership. And, you know, we can look at our political environment without looking at one person or party or the other and really be critical. And so over the years, I've been studying this, and the definition that I feel very strongly about, I spent a lot of time really meditating on this and also working with clients. Definition that I use is being a steward or overseeing the resources that you've been gifted with. And that really is the definition that I use. And I like using the word steward because it has a lot of meaning to it. And one of the reasons why I love that definition is because if you're the steward over something, you don't own it. And I think many times in our world that we have, people think that if they manage five people, for example, that they literally almost own those people and oversee everything about them. But if they're considering themselves a steward over it, which is the definition I love to use, then it's really a gift that they've been given to oversee and manage and work with those people. And they need to give those people back better than they were when they were given that gift. And to me, the essence of leadership that we're really missing is that aspect of stewardship or overseeing the gifts that we've been given to take care of. And so that's my definition. It's a little bit different, but that's what I usually use when I work with clients and others, so that it kind of helps us keep the proper perspective.
No, that is so good, that definition. I love it because I truly believe that when I've been in leadership roles, it's you know, managing people, managing companies. I always try to go from the perspective that, I was trying to teach people things. You know, I was trying to make them a little bit better than they are when I started with them. And because I can teach people as long as I have someone that is willing to learn and that cares about what they're doing, I can teach them. I found that most people are willing. They want to become better. You know, younger people especially want to become better. They want to learn from your experience.
Yeah, Yeah, they not only do they want to learn, but they really thrive and flourish in the learning environment when they know someone. I love what you said, when they have a heart for helping them improve, versus what we often see, someone is attempting to use them to advance themselves, which is kind of the opposite. It's nothing but a take situation in leadership. And so what you just brought up is beautiful, because you really wanted to pour into those people that you had responsibility for, and they probably picked up on that. I mean, that's really I also do work in ministry, and so that's really ministering to people. That's really just showing love. And, you know, one of the things that we really have also a lack of in our culture, societies, just we don't show as much love and compassion for others as we should. And you know what? People know it. They recognize it. And I think that's something that would be really helpful if we could all, you know, what I think the self-love, right? You know, and maybe that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah, I think that's correct. You know, you gotta show a little love, people. Someone once said, you know, people don't care what you have to say till they know that you care. You know, so.
Someone said that. I'm not sure if he did, but it sounds like him, doesn't it?
I think it was Zig Ziglar who said that. I think you're correct. You know your coaches, let me tell you.
Well, I've heard him speak a few times, and you know what? He is, especially being originally from the South, you know, with that old accent that Zig had, he would have been one that was quite the classic, and always enjoyed him when he was alive, hearing him speak.
Yeah, I heard him the first time I was at a conference in Baltimore, Maryland, and went to a conference, and he was a speaker, and he got up there, and he was late in his career. You know, he was in his 60s at the time, and man, he just got on that stage for 2.5 hours and just mesmerized everyone in the audience. He was something. Absolutely something.
Yeah, he was. And if there's anyone that's listening that they may not know that name, they just need to get a book called See You at the Top by Zig Ziglar and read that. It's a classic that everyone needs to have read and listened to. And so who knew we would be promoting Zig Ziglar here? So I think that's probably good value to the audience.
Absolutely. So why should people consider having a coach or a mentor?
You know, one of the things that I've observed over the years with me and also with people I work with is that we struggle with self-awareness, being able to see our blind spots and knowing what we may, you know, sometimes we're good at our strengths. Usually, I won't say that all the time, but we really do struggle with knowing what our weaknesses may be. And for many people, that's why they get married, because sometimes their spouse can help them out with knowing what they need to work on. But in business, in leadership, in areas where people are trying to maximize their performance and understand what it means to be successful, I believe that it's just very helpful to have someone that can speak into your life and pull out the greatness or the potential that's there. And not all the time, but many times that could be someone that we use the term coach for. And so that's one of the reasons. I mean, I people say, how did you know you were a coach? And I've been wired to coach since I was a kid. I mean, I wanted to coach in athletics and all of that. And I've just always wanted to this is the way I word it. I've always wanted to be that guy that reached inside people or organizations and just pulled out the greatness that was already there and helped it manifest. And I just think that's why people should consider getting a coach. Now, I'll tell you, not everyone can work with a coach. I've run across that, but I think they should consider it and maybe pursue it and, you know, have a chat with somebody and maybe keep their eyes open for someone that might be that person for them.
Very, very good. Where can our audience find your podcast?
The best place to find it is on our website, which is seekgocreate.com. It's just those three words, seek, go, create, no spaces or anything in between it. Seekgocreate.com, and they can go find the podcast, all the episodes, and we talk a lot about leadership and business, and we also sprinkle some ministry in there from time to time, too.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're at the top of this segment, but it's been a real joy and a pleasure to have you here today, and I wish that you come back and talk to us again.
Thanks, Lee and Brian. It's been great to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. And also, once COVID dies down, hopefully you can come to the East Coast and check out some of our national parks.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that part of the world you guys are in. And how big's your driveway? You got a 40-foot driveway?
No, unfortunately not. I don't think so.
I'm looking for people, friends that have 40-foot driveways. That's really my mission in life.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, there's a lot of places on the East Coast. We went to Gettysburg not too long ago during the summertime, and that's a great place. And lots of RVs I saw.
That's right.
Wandered around there. But you have to come back and talk to us again. I really enjoyed this.
Absolutely. Thank you both.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a great weekend, and we're going to be back after these words.
The man in the arena. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
A new day has begun. As the sun rises, our staff, drivers, and modern fleet of vehicles are ready. Our wheels are rolling. Mission number one is to safely transport your special needs child to and from school. Getting students to school and home again on time and safe is what we do. It's what we're good at. Transporting people. It's in our name, our minds, and our hearts. For more information, contact us at 215-517-7433. We are MTS. Transporting people is what we do. It's the only thing we do.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, yo, how you doing? This is Vince Papali from Invincible, and you're listening to Brian Lee.
When it comes to the father and son team, you got to listen to Brian and Lee. It's the only way to go. They entertain some of the coolest things from the past to the future to right now. So tune in.
Tune in, absolutely.
It's good to be back here.
Yeah, very good interview.
That was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. That's the conversation from the road.
That's right.
He was in an RV overlooking a park.
Exactly.
Where are we?
Where are we?
We're overlooking the bulletproof glass with Brett.
Exactly.
He can't talk today, But
no, he has a gag order, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's under a gag order. But we'll be back maybe next week with him.
Exactly. But apparently, there's a lot of Phillies employees that are going to have to reevaluate their situation.
Why?
Why? Because over 80 front office people have been laid off by the Phillies.
80?
80.
Wow. Does that mean that you don't? They don't think that the Phillies are coming back?
Yeah, I think they're going to. They're expecting it to be another cardboard cutout season.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think we're going to have live fans back until 2022.
So, what kind of front office jobs were these?
I think a lot of them were in. Well, I don't want to speculate.
Yeah, don't speculate.
No, but I think the majority of them were in the ballpark.
Oh, okay.
Community. I don't think that any of the other, the regular front office people that you're thinking of, like the general manager and scouting department and all that. I mean, that they could have gotten rid of them. I don't know, but
yeah, but these are like the king of the ushers.
Yeah, it's the king of the ushers.
Yeah.
Basically, ballpark personnel.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of front office people.
Yeah. Janitorial staff. I don't know what other. I mean, I don't know what they had there. Yeah.
Well, they had live games. You know, they had the fun center. You know, nobody could do that this year.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they had this. Well, I don't think they have it anymore, but they used to have the speed pitch. You remember that?
Yeah, that's right. That was all controlled by the Phillies?
Yep. All the.
How about the merchandise?
Actually, no, I think they might have been controlled by Citizens Bank, but I don't know for sure.
How about the merchandising?
The merchandising was definitely done by the Phillies.
Yeah, so that's all closed up.
That's all closed up.
You know, the people that go around and celebrate your birthday. You know,
yeah, the fan stormers.
Yeah, you don't need them.
Yeah, they don't need. It's a shame, though, that a lot of these people who were in the front office at the ballpark, they thought that they were set for quite a while.
Right, right.
Because you didn't think anything could happen to baseball.
Right. I don't know. So I saw this this movie that was really strange.
What was it?
It was called Under the Skin, Under Skin, with Scarlett Johansson. She plays an alien. And
was her name V?
I don't think so.
Because that's what this sounds like. You take the skin off and you're an alien.
Right, and that's what happened.
It sounds like V.
Yeah. But it wasn't called V.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she could have been V. Yeah. But the whole thing was that she picked up guys in her van and then took them to a place and they were never seen again. it was a really strange kind of movie. I don't know. Really strange.
And you said it got about, 23 on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Or something low score?
83, I thought. I thought it was a high score.
Well, what's your score on it? What's your take on it?
I thought it wasn't that good of a movie. I like Scarlett Johansson. She's very attractive. So from that perspective, it was good.
Yeah, but not when she unzips her body and then turns out she's an alien.
Well, that doesn't happen until the very end, so.
Oh, I thought they show that with every kidnapping.
No.
And, or every seduction, I should say.
No, they don't do that. and that's why you don't know what's going on for a while. You just have no idea. It's just really strange type movie. So the president is a baby again because even though they're telling him
that it's over.
His attorney general Barr came out and said there was no fraud. They didn't find any fraud.
Everything is going to be finalized.
Yeah, and he doesn't believe him. So it's like he's still saying, on tweets and everything, that there was fraud and that he won the election.
Exactly.
So you're never going to get him.
See, the problem is he's watching his propaganda network, and they're saying that he won with 420 electoral votes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's called propaganda, folks.
But it's strange. Mm-hmm. Strange, you know. And
January 20th can't get here soon enough.
It will get here soon. Don't worry about that. It's going to come here soon. And the Kansas City Chiefs did a great job this week. I watched that game.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Mahomes.
Exactly.
Did it. Mm-hmm. Did it again.
They did it again.
What a quarterback he is.
I don't think that Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh played, or did they?
No, not yet.
No.
Well, they will. Yeah. I mean, they played.
Yeah, they were on Thursday night, I think.
Wednesday, I think.
What? Oh, that's right. That was Tuesday. The makeup game.
Yeah, the makeup Tuesday. Game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were on Tuesday. We already missed it.
No, they Wednesday. Tomorrow.
Pittsburgh and Ravens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah, that was the COVID game.
Yeah.
No, that's this past Tuesday, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday. It was Wednesday.
I'll make a bet with you.
Okay.
Don't argue with me.
3:45 Wednesday, it happened.
You sure?
Yes.
Positive.
All right, I'll look it up.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of activity going on in the control room, so that's why he's whispering.
Yeah, they're launching another satellite
exactly.
up in the air.
He started to sound like the password guy, doesn't he?
Who's that?
The password is...
Password.
Crank.
Crank. Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Of course I'm right. You're arguing. Look, a young whippersnapper cannot argue with...
Mr. Football.
Yeah,
was Wednesday, not Tuesday. I thought it was originally going to be Tuesday.
It was originally going to be Tuesday. You are correct, sir.
When did they make it this past Wednesday?
Well, they changed it.
Yeah.
And the NFL did that.
It had to be in the afternoon because of the tree lighting ceremony.
Yeah, there's a tree lighting ceremony in Rockefeller Center.
And it's going to be on NBC, so NBC couldn't move Rockefeller Center to another day.
So I haven't watched Walking Dead yet, the Fear the World Beyond. I haven't done that yet.
It was a good season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
That's hard for me to say because I don't like that show. But
yeah, but you thought it was good?
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I don't know if I look forward to seeing it or not.
Well, you don't like that show.
No.
No.
I don't like that franchise.
Right. Not at all. So you're looking forward to the holiday season?
I am. Like I said, it's going to be strange not being able to go into the Wanamaker's building.
But there's other places you can go. You could drive through. We should do this. We should take a drive all at night around.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
The
I
lights
forgot,
and stuff.
I forgot where it was. It's a drive-through light show.
Yeah, we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people's houses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a young kid, you know, that's what we used to do. We used to
try,
in New Jersey especially, they used to light up their whole house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
they would go all Clark Griswold, wouldn't they?
They would. People would go crazy. You know, with
25,000 Italian imported Twinkalites.
Which is great, you know, if you like doing that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we never did that, you know. And the tree, mm-hmm. the tree that's 20 stories high.
Exactly.
That you can't get into the house, you mm-hmm. know. Of course not, yeah.
Well, I still have a little bit of trimming to do, but I think it'll look okay.
Yeah, why not? Why not? So do you have any movies or TV tips for this week?
Not really.
No, you didn't see anything?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
Although I did hear something. I haven't checked it out yet, but a lot of my fanatical friends have confirmed this, that Pluto TV has launched a 24-hour Price is Right channel.
Huh. Do we need that? Do we need a 24-hour Price is Right channel?
Well, they have enough material to run it 24 hours
good.
A day.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, apparently they're starting in 1982 with Bob Barker.
Right. Well, for tech time, I found out, you know, that I have a new phone,
mm-hmm.
the iPhone 12 Plus, and I bought it because of 5G, but you don't get 5G, apparently. I got 5GE.
You gotta pay for it. You gotta throw more money at them.
Well, I called
Or should I say it like Peter Griffin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Give me money, give me money, give me money, give me money.
So I called AT&T, and AT&T says you got to pay extra money for the 5G. So I said, okay, put me on that plan.
Well, we can't just put you. We have to put everybody else.
Yeah, but they don't have a 5G phone. And I don't get 5G anyway now. They did that. I still don't get 5G. What's up, AT&T? I'm going to call them tomorrow and find out what the heck is going on.
Now they're going to tell you that you're going to have to buy this add-on that you stick on the top of your head.
Right.
And make you look like the Coneheads. You remember that?
Right. They better not say they don't get 5G in Philadelphia, because their commercial says you get 5G in Philadelphia. So
is that so?
This is your assignment.
So they said it on TV, so it must be true.
It must be true. It has to be true. You know. I want to go see the Dickens display again.
Yeah. You haven't seen that in a while, haven't you?
No, I haven't seen that in a while. I don't know if it's still up and available, you know.
Well, it's not where it used to be. It's not at Strawbridge's, because Strawbridge's doesn't exist anymore.
So this is what my recollection of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, my mother would just take me to Center City. We would go to Strawbridge's. We would see the toy department, see Santa, mm-hmm. and then she'd take me out to lunch.
Nice.
Fun time.
But now the Dickens exhibit is in the Wanamaker's building, so it's finally all in one location.
Sounds great. Hey, we're going to be back next week with another great show, another great guest.
And probably next week
or back.
Probably next week or the week after that, I'll be talking about the Wanamaker's monorail.
Amen. Be strong, stay strong.
The Brian and Lee Show is a BLS production.